all for being here today. I like that.
Merry Christmas. And welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. We are so glad that you have made your way to worship God and to welcome God this night. A note about our youngest worshipers with us this evening. I know that you all are super excited and maybe even a bit tired too, and that's okay. The welcome here at GPC is for all. So parents, relax a little bit. It can be challenging, but we're so glad to have all our families worshiping together. Wiggles and giggles and cries are part of what it means to be church here at GPC. Friends, may the good news of this night inspire us to tell the world of this great joy, for to us is born a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Let us worship God. Won't you pray with me? O Holy One, across the universe, creation waits for the prophets to speak, to tell their stories of expectation and their vision of renewal. Tonight we come to stand with the shepherds and to be amazed at your glory. Tonight we come to sing with the angels, rejoicing in your work. Tonight we come to wait with Joseph, trusting in your promise. Tonight we come to sit with Mary, cradling the Christ child. May we gather round them today once more in Bethlehem, and let their longing grip us and lead us into birth and blessing. On this journey to Bethlehem this night, show us who you are, that we might know who we can be. In your redeeming love, amen.
Thank you. hope you haven't been lulled to sleep and that we will continue our worship together. If you're able, stand for the call to worship. And now we'll have some action. Let us go in heart and mind. Let us go with the shepherds. Let us go to Bethlehem. Let us go with the unlikely and outcast. Let us go with all the world, with all the peoples of the nations. Come, let us worship. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Thank you. with joy. The shepherds have entered to him. Love they bring, while angels sing joyously, merrily sing.
Come, little children. At this time, all the children are welcome to come forward and join me here at the manger. And the big children, too. Come on over. Come on up. You can take your robes off, of course. Why don't we stay standing for a minute? Is that okay? I know you guys are probably a little tired. All the children are welcome to come up. That works too. Here we go. Come on up. Hello. Come on. Hello. Merry Christmas. Thank you. It works. I'm a mom. I know what to do with laundry. Come on. Hi. Hi, so why don't we have everyone come close? Come close. Come close. I know that some of you all had a chance to see baby Jesus, I know, and play in the hay. It's really tempting. On Sunday, and I am so glad to see you. Hello. Here again tonight, because tonight is a very special night. Can anyone tell me what is tonight? Monday, yes, still Monday, but it's also, what is it? Christmas Eve, you're so right, and this is a very special night when we come to church and we celebrate, that's right, we celebrate baby Jesus. It's okay, you can touch baby Jesus. This baby Jesus is for touching. He's not real, right? He's not crying. No. But this helps us to remember that God's big, 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 big love came to earth in a teeny tiny little baby. All of you started off as teeny tiny little babies, and your parents and families and friends all loved you so much and taught you all about God's love and how that love is for each and every one of you. So tonight, we celebrate God's love that came in a teeny tiny little baby. I know, yeah, it's so great. Will you pray with me? Okay, sure. Dear God, thank you for baby Jesus. For your love that came to the world. Amen. Thank you all for being here. You guys did such a great job. So will you sit with your parents and your families and stay and sing with us and hear the story? Good. Thank you. Thank you.
Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, our Savior, it was prophesied. Isaiah talks about it in the 9th chapter. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. prophet Micah also continued to tell about what might happen in the fifth chapter. Now as you are all walled around with a wall, siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the ruler of Israel upon the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
And we hear the story of the Christ child born to us this day, the story as it is told by the Gospel of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
And in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Child is this, the carol wonders, as angels greet the shepherds keeping watch over the hills of Bethlehem. We love this song, in part for its iconic tune, and perhaps because we too long for an answer to the question that it asks. What child is this? A question that if the world had known just who this baby Jesus was, we wonder if things would have gone a little bit differently. We, of course, will never know, but the question of the carol reminds me of a true story about a church Christmas pageant. This pageant took place in a small town somewhere in the Midwest back in the early 1960s. The account was written up in a magazine shortly after it happened, and it focused on a young boy named Wallace Perling. He went by Wally for short, and Wally really, really, really wanted to be a shepherd in the Christmas pageant. He zealously loved everything involved with being a shepherd, hearing the angels sing, guarding the sheep, and then running to Bethlehem to see the new baby. The chance to be one of the shepherds had been Wally's dream for years, and all the children and all the adults who took part in the pageant knew it. And that particular year, Wally really hoped that his time had come to live his dream. But as rehearsals geared up, Mrs. Lombard, the director, began to get a little nervous of the idea of Wally as a shepherd. She knew that sometimes Wally could be a bit difficult. Sometimes he had trouble remembering things, and he could be a bit clumsy. And if he forgot his lines or knocked things over when he arrived at the stable, in her mind, the pageant's drama would just be ruined. And no one, of course, wanted anything to be ruined on Christmas Eve. So she came up with a different plan. Instead of asking little Wally to be a shepherd, she would ask him to be the innkeeper. That part only had a few lines and very little movement. Wally could do that part well, she thought. And to his credit, he eventually agreed. He would wait one more year to be a shepherd, but this year he would play the part of the innkeeper instead. So when Christmas Eve arrived and it was finally showtime at Wally's church, there he stood right where he was supposed to be, behind the wooden door, waiting for Mary and Joseph. Finally, the couple made their way to the door, and Joseph knocked on it. And Wally, right on cue, he opened the door and demanded, "What do you want?" Sitting on the front row, Mrs. Lombard felt that rush of confidence. He was playing into this part so perfectly. "We seek lodging," said Joseph. "Seek it elsewhere. The inn is full," Wally responded. "But, sir," Joseph continued, "we've asked everywhere in vain, and we've traveled so far. We're so very tired." "There's no room for you in this inn," Wally said sternly. "Please, please, good innkeeper, this is my wife, Mary," Joseph begged. "She's pregnant and needs a place to rest. Surely you have some small corner for her, please." And then for the first time, Wally the innkeeper relaxed his stiff stance and looked down at Mary and took a noticeable pause. Ms. Lombard held her breath. Had he forgotten what he was supposed to say? "No, be gone," she whispered from her seat, hoping to remind him. And it worked. "No, no," Wally responded. "Be gone." And with that line, Joseph placed his arm around Mary, just as they had practiced. And Mary laid her head upon his shoulder. The two of them moved slowly away. But Wally, who was supposed to close the door and exit the front of the church, he didn't move. He just stood there, with his mouth open, his brow creased, and his eyes following Mary and Joseph. And the congregation saw little Wally's eyes fill with tears. "Don't go, Joseph," Wally cried. "Bring Mary back." And as the tears rolled down poor little Wally's face, he suddenly brightened with hope. "I know, you can have my room." Oh, if only that had happened in Bethlehem so long ago. Wouldn't that have been something if the innkeeper had said, "No, wait, take my room. My family will get you some warm towels and a pillow for your back, Mary." But that's not the way Jesus' birth unfolds. What child is this? We didn't know who you were. Now, biblical scholars have helped us realize that Mary and Joseph's lodging situation may not have been quite as dramatic as we portray in our Christmas pageants. But when they reached Bethlehem, they were still offered leftover space instead of an innkeeper's room. They placed the child in a feeding trough instead of a cradle. The child was wrapped in bands of cloth instead of soft blankets. It's quite a staggering leap for us to then sing, "This is Christ the King," when the child was born into poverty, into a world that cared more about empire building and revenue raising and the whims of power-hungry rulers than making room for the improbable inbreaking of God's love made flesh. What child is this, we ask? But what if the others had known? If the others had known, like our friend Wally, of the dramatic event taking place, the changing of history that was about to happen, the proclamation of God's tremendous love for humankind revealed in the birth of the tiny baby, God made flesh, just as our children this evening revealed, we just want to reach out and touch him. If we had known, would that holy night have been handled differently? We don't really know. And yet we continue to sing. What child is this? Knowing a bit more of the story. We know this child will grow to be a man, still preferring to give up places of honor in favor of being surrounded by the poor and vulnerable, the ordinary and unknown. He will perform miracles. He will welcome the children. He will heal and he will speak truth to power and seek justice for the oppressed. We know that he will even defeat death itself by dying on a cross. We know full well that God knew what God was getting God's self into by being born on this night, born into a world full of violence and fear, totally vulnerable and tiny. This was the way that God has chosen to make God's love fully known. And so we claim the hope, we sing of the joy, and we long for the love working for peace this night and always, learning from Wally's compassionate example, the ways to commit our living that answers the question, what child is this? Amen.
Oh.
Tonight, we gather as people living in darkness and seeking to see the light of the world born in Bethlehem. The Christmas story, as the Gospel of Matthew tells us, reminds us that after the wise men visit the Holy Family, they are forced to flee to Egypt as refugees. Our offering tonight recognizes that story is being played out at the Mexico-U.S. border today. Your gifts will support the ongoing efforts of the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance to partner with congregations, interfaith, nonprofit, and volunteer organizations, advocacy, and direct support for refugees and asylum seekers. Let us together carry the light of Christ into our world.
The Gospel of John proclaims that the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. This is the light that shines into the darkness. The darkness did not overcome it. Into the darkness of this world and our lives, the light of the Christ child has been born to us this day. May our collective lights represent the divine promise of great joy that even the smallest lights chase away the shadows of this world, even in the darkest of places. As our candlelighters make their way forward, they will come and grab a candle, and they will share and distribute the light with you. We're going to hum Silent Night as all the candles are lit. You'll notice a pause in the organ, and we'll begin to sing together. Please join with me in prayer. We've come to this holy night with our childlike wonder to encounter your love made flesh, holy God. Our hearts are full of love for you, the one who loves us all. Send us out from the carols and candlelight to share the good news of great joy that you are born among us this day. Amen. And so go forth to spread the light wherever you go, sharing God's love and promise with all whom you meet. Go into the world to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner and rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people and make music in every heart. In the name of our God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, we cry and sing out with the angels in the heavens and the shepherds in the fields. Joy to the world. Love has come.